From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Idaho author Kelly Green just wrote a new book, When Knowing Comes, and it tackles a disturbing but necessary topic, that of child sexual abuse. And we're lucky enough to have Kelly joining us today to talk more about this. Kelly, I want to welcome you to the program.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So this is a heavy topic, but can you give us a quick synopsis of the novel?
Certainly. It's a legal drama about two men who sue a youth sports organization for child sexual abuse that happened when they played soccer, competitive soccer, as children. And the novel follows two timelines. One is as their children playing soccer, the events that occur, and the other is the courtroom drama and trial during their challenge to the youth sports organization for their lack of oversight of the coaches.
What was it that made you want to, you know, tackle such a difficult topic?
Well, I have encountered this issue. My father is a survivor of abuse as a child, and I've been following this for some 30 years, particularly in the context of men who were sexually abused, because there's mm-hmm. some unique issues, I think, for men. My perspective has been, and what I was trying to do, is to show the ripple effects of the abuse, not just on the victim, but on the communities, the families, throughout all of society, that one event of abuse projects out and has this major impact on lots of people. So I was identified characters and communities in the novel and tried to portray the impact of the abuse on them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's interesting when you say, you know, looking in particular to the abuse of boys, right?
Right.
Because all we have to do is look at real life examples, the Catholic Church, the Boy Scouts, right? And when we've seen these now men come forward and talk about this experience that they had of sexual abuse, there really are, I think, yes, similarities with when a young girl gets abused. At the same time, as you said, Kelly, such different ripple effects for men. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that impacted your characters in the book as well, and even, you know, their divergent paths as adults?
Certainly. We've all seen the Me Too movement, which has been primarily related to women. And I've been tracking this issue for over 30 years. And as the events have come out with the churches, with the sports organizations like USA Gymnastics and all these big institutions, it has occurred to me that men really do have a different impact than women, similar in a lot of ways and the same in a lot of ways. However, with men, there's different layers of coming to their Me Too movement, if you will. I think it's harder for them because of some of the gender expectations of men being tough and men not being victims. And there's also an overlay of a concern about homosexuality. In fact, as an example of one of my characters, you see that in the character Robbie, who is a homosexual male, and his father is a traditional Catholic person who believes that he has a lot of guilt about the abuse. And Robbie's father believes that Robbie is gay because of the abuse. And Robbie says, no, I'm not gay because of the abuse. I'm gay just because I'm gay. But that's an example of one aspect that men have to face differently than women do typically in abuse. And most abusers, I believe over 98% are men.
Mm-hmm. And you say, you know, you've been following this topic and these cases for 30 plus years. We should say that you are an attorney. And so I'm curious about how your work in the legal world also then impacts how you write these legal dramas.
I think my impact in the legal world has to do with my wrestling with what is justice. That's one of the issues that I try to take on, because if you hear the stories of survivors, and there's lots of memoir out there that survivors have told their stories, they question whether they ever receive justice. And this is even if they win in a courtroom battle. Is that really justice? So, you know, after my years and years of practice, I saw that every day. What is the correct result versus what is the just result? And that is an angle that I used to sharpen my characters and the story in the courtroom.
And you know, that even goes to the fact that in your book, you know, even the only reason they were able to bring this case to a courtroom was that the statute of limitations had changed. So therefore, you know, these men were able to bring this case to fruition. And again, you know, it's having to depend on the legal world, right, to try to find justice, which is how we're supposed to go about things in the United States. With that said, though, how important was it, you know, to kind of unpack that idea of if the statute of limitation hadn't changed, I mean, would justice have been served?
That's a great question. And I don't know that justice actually was served even with a win. However, assuming it was, the statute of limitations being lifted on these cases is huge. There's a stereotype and an old trope about if an abuser or if a person has been abused, why don't they speak up about it? You know, they must be lying because they didn't say anything. Well, when knowing comes, one of the things that we have learned and we now know is that victims don't speak up. In fact, that is the norm. When people are abused as children, it takes years and years, and sometimes not until they're in their 30s and 40s, for them to be able to process and understand what has happened. And therefore, the lifting of the statute of limitations for the states that have done it acknowledges that reality and allows the survivors to pursue justice if they wish in the courtroom.
And you know, even in the foreword to your book, you wrote about, you know, this topic may be very disturbing, and in fact, for some people, may trigger something, right? But what I found interesting, even in your foreword, was, but it may not be a memory,
right? You know, and again, another theme on the title, When Knowing Comes, is a lot of times when trauma victims undergo an event, they do what the psychologists call disassociate, and their mind basically goes somewhere else. And so their memory is hidden, and it's a self-protection method. So the memory of the event could be hidden for years and years, and then something will happen, a sound or a smell or a sight, and that will trigger the memory, even for some people who never really quite realized what had happened to them as children. And as you know, one of the lead characters in the book does have a repressed memory that comes out and is triggered by later events.
And you know, Kelly, you mentioned that your dad is a survivor, and he was abused as a child. And you dive into this topic even in the book, is that, you know, there are ripple effects of child sexual abuse. It's not just the victim who is impacted, and yes, they take the brunt of the impact, but there are these ripple effects, like how it impacts a family, how it impacts a community. Why was it important for you to make sure that, you know, there was that understanding and acknowledgement of truly like the tentacles that go out once someone is abused?
I believe it's important because it helps a person to understand behavior. So the statistics are such that there's substantial of numbers of people who have survived any type of abuse. And when you're interacting with a person, their behavior can be trauma related, right? So they can become hostile, or they can withdraw. There's a number of responses. And what happens is people don't always realize. And I can give you an example in the book of the relationship between a married couple, a man and a woman. And the man is a survivor, and he is unable to connect intimately with his wife. And he struggles with that. And she doesn't understand it. She thinks it's about her, that she's too fat or too old or not attractive, when in fact, that's not the case at all. So I think for people who are friends and family members of survivors, it helps to understand the behavior of their survivor and the impacts that it has on others.
And before I let you go, I really want to talk about the fact that you are doing something, I think, very unique with the proceeds from this book. Can you talk a little bit about this and why it was important for you to do this?
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, I have been donating proceeds to organizations, not-for-profit organizations that are dedicated to the prevention of child abuse. As I went through this, I decided to focus on prevention rather than on nurturing survivors and helping survivors, because I feel like the efforts that our society has taken on prevention has failed to a large degree. And again, as knowing comes, now that we know the pervasiveness of the problem, I think we can all step up and do our part to support scientific research into the behaviors and see what we can do to actually prevent the problem in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about your book and about this this topic. Really appreciate the conversation.
Thanks, Gemma. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.